When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that's as frou-frou as poo-poo in a tutu.
No. No. No.
But kind.
No. But do it again.
Wait, you're forcing another run at this? Yeah. Are you pulling your executive privileges on?
You broke me. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today...
today, we're going to talk about poker.
Poker face.
Ma-ma-ma-ma.
Poker face. Poker face.
Did you just do that just because you wanted to get that on the list? The Spotify list?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ma-ma-ma-ma. That's going to be in the back of my head.
I'm hoping to get at least 3 songs on the list today. And I know what 2 of them are going to be.
Wait, are these just going to be things you're going to casually, like, all of a sudden you'll be like, I have this fantasy.
Well, now that's on the list, Kyle. Now we need a higher goal.
Anyway, we're going to talk about poker.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Kyle recently put together a Spotify playlist, which you can search for, Sounds of Gayish Podcast, and any song we even remotely reference is going on it. If we are missing any, please let us know what the song is, title and artist, and which episode we referenced it on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great.
Okay, cool. So, before poker, I have one update.
Okay.
I want to let you know. So I finally looked up, we talked on the live stream about the term he spot.
Yeah.
And I was like, did I make that up? Because I definitely used it in like a reading that I did. And I did not. And it was on, he spot was on Urban Dictionary. And the earliest entry I found was 2010.
Okay.
Which is 6 years before I did my reading. So I either made it up, but it's like, it's like I discovered 2 + 2 = 4, and everyone's like, yeah. But I still discovered it, so I don't know.
I mean, I think, okay, if this was a court of law, which it is not, we would have to look at, like, where did you hear from it? We would have to track it down, because you might have independently come up with the same thing.
Yeah.
That happens in nature all the time with evolution.
Yeah.
Just ask Dan. And
it's like murder. Like, if you didn't know murder was illegal, then you get off. Like, you're allowed to do it if you didn't know it was
illegal. Or if you break into somebody's house and you stab them, but they're already dead before you got there, is that murder? Should you be charged with murder?
No, I can answer that one. It's not.
But you intended to kill them, and they are now dead.
Oh, it should be charged as, like, murderous intent.
Yeah.
Coming soon to ABC. That probably is a TV show already.
Yeah. Minority Report, I think you would be full on
arrested.
You
would be precogged for sure. Real hard in the head.
I want to get precogged real bad.
I want to be with 3 weirdos in a pool. Okay, what? This is already off the rails.
Murderous Intent was a 1995 TV movie.
Fuck. Okay.
Okay. Great. You stole that too, Kyle.
Damn it.
One plagiarized joke after another.
I have this idea where a black nun goes to a convent and they all start singing. Okay. Do you want to do news?
Before or after 100 words?
Oh. I don't know.
I think we've done them before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, do it.
So at a certain level of Patreon, you can write in 100 words and I'll read them. And this week we have 100 words.
Do it.
Okay, great. We have 100 words from Keith Zeller. Here it goes. Hey, Dan, Kyle, and Mike, I finally did it.
This is your reminder that Mike will read the full entirety of the email. So just be careful about what you send.
From class to crass, the gift of Gayish Podcast to us all, in alphabetical order. Dan, Kyle, and Mike are intelligent, insightful, curious, knowledgeable, clueless, empathetic, irreverent, bold, humble, loving, caring, compassionate, completely gay, dedicated, neurotic, hysterically funny, and kind of completely fucked up, just like the rest of us. This is their gift to us. Never portraying themselves as experts, they give us the feeling that we are all together in Mike's kitchen, laughing, sharing, crying, and learning. They are the gay everyman. $2 is one coffee. I challenge every listener to join Patreon at this level. Now, don't change one fucking word. You can use my name. Hug to Mike, choke to Kyle, and a good fuck to Dan.
Wow, I wish everyone used their 100 words to sell us.
Yeah, I know, right?
We have invented the character Keith Zeller to sell.
Yep. Feel free to send us in all kinds of self-promotion. That works out great for everybody.
You know that we didn't write that ourselves under the pseudonym of Keith Zeller because we wouldn't be that nice to us.
Right, yeah, that's true.
Anyway, thank you, Keith Zeller. That's very kind of
you. Thank you. And a quick reminder, you can send in 100 words whenever you want, even if you've done it before. So all y'all, of which there are many, not using that prime benefit, get on it.
Yeah, get up on it.
Get on me.
That's not the benefit.
Great. Moving on to the news.
Shit-a-diddle-dit news.
Oh, God. The news theme is a fantasy. Okay. News the first. Here we go. So, Reverend Friedrich Klein was removed as a priest on January 20th, 1943 by the Nazis. And he was removed from that post by the Nazis because of homosexual activity. Germany's Protestant church of the time, brimming with willing anti-Semitic and homophobic accomplices to Hitler's brutal regime, disrobed Klein on charges of homosexual
activity. That means removing him from his post?
The priesthood.
Yeah. Okay, not... Okay.
Yeah. It is... what kind of church is this, anyway? A Nazi church, apparently. But at Berlin's Emanuelkirche Church... Anyway, so just last week, they are posthumously reinstating him.
Oh.
They're saying, sorry about that Nazi shit, dead guy. You're a priest again.
Whoops. That was our bad. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Protestant Berlin Bishop Christian Stablen? Told the congregation, quote, revoking the ordination rights of Reverend Friedrich Klein on January 20th, 1943 has been recognized as an injustice and is declared null and void. So after 75 years, they got their shit together. They're almost as quick as the Catholic Church at fixing their historical problems.
Why now? That's interesting.
Yeah. So let's see. Why now? So, in 2018, they celebrated their 125th anniversary of the construction of the church, and current pastor Mark Pockrent leafed through some old archive files and then found this story. So, they disturbed him and then, like, buried the story. Mm. So, they were getting their 125th anniversary celebration together, and that's when, going through old documents, they found this dude out and... That began the campaign to fix it, and it took them a couple years to fix it, but they fixed it.
That's shit like that reminds me that, like, I always think of, like, everything is more official than it really is. Like, things the government does or big businesses do or whatever. Like, you always think, like, oh, there was a focus team and a bunch of people signed off on, like, a million people reviewed. But, like, a dude found out that this happened and then made it a thing. Like, it's not an official, formal, it's, like, just, it's people that make the difference, Mike.
It's true.
It's just...
It's true.
We make the world go round. That's not true that something about outer space does. But you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's never too late to un-Nazi something.
Sure. America. Coming soon to America. Hopefully we get un-Nazied.
Yeah. It's also likely that he was buried in an unmarked grave because that was pretty common.
Mm.
So... I starting off good.
Great.
Great. Happy?
Yeah.
News the next?
Yeah.
Okay. So, oh man, I fucking love this shit. So there is it's wildfire season. Ask anybody. And in fact, I had to drive through a wildfire on my way here today because Central Washington is also on fire. But like most of California is fucked. As it is every year when it comes to fires. Well, so the El Dorado Ranch Park fire in Southern California which is about 7,000 acres, causing the evacuation of 3,000 homes in Oak Glen, Yucaipa Ridge Mountain Home Village, and Forest Falls.
Ooh, la la.
In this area. Well, it has been revealed by law enforcement that this fire was caused by a smoke-generating pyrotechnic device used during a gender reveal party.
Okay. Wow. It's not funny.
It's...
Well, but I mean... Ugh, Jesus. Okay.
Just straight people. The genitals of your child don't fucking matter. Get over yourselves. It's the fucking dumbest shit ever.
It's not worth burning down your neighborhood.
Like...
Penis. Fire!
I just... There's something so satisfying about what's happening here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. So California Governor Gavin Newsom has declared a state of emergency due to the El Dorado fire, which continues to be extremely active as of Sunday evening. That's last night, because we're recording this on Labor Day. Just first of all, why are you having a party at all during COVID, much less for your child's genitals?
That's a good point.
And then lighting the whole state on fire.
Yeah.
I hope it was worth it.
There's like several things in a row that were wrong about what they did. And yeah, a lot of poor logistics and ideas. Stop throwing gender reveal parties. Except for gender reveal parties when your child, if and when they tell you their real gender, having gender reveal parties, then it's like, oh, hey, all along, it's a boy. Like, those to me are fucking adorable.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And until then, you can have a gender reveal party as long as the smoke is green and it stands for we don't know yet.
Don't fucking know. How about just like the smoke is absent? How about we don't know the gender, so there will be no flammable items at this party?
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay.
Okay.
News the last.
Mike, did you see that this isn't the first time a gender reveal party has caused a wildfire?
No, I did not.
It happened in 2017, too.
Wow. Yeah. Were we on the air yet? Was it before April? It was probably after April.
It doesn't say the month.
Okay.
Well, we also didn't do like a formal news segment in the past.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Ooh, there's a video of it, though. April 23rd.
Okay, oh, so we've just been on the air for like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
so.
I was like, how do you edit things? Boop, 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 boop.
Oh, I don't have COVID. That's the fire I drove through. It's making me cough.
Did someone gender reveal you?
Yes. Still a dude. Okay, news the last.
Let's do it.
So apparently bisexuals are pissed because it has been revealed that in the live-action remake of Mulan, bisexual icon Li Shang has been removed from that version of the story. So apparently, have you seen Mulan? Do you remember Mulan?
I never saw Mulan.
It seems like a totally millennial thing. I don't think I've ever seen the movie.
No.
But, Dan, you did see it? It came out in 1998, and it was as an animated film. And apparently a lot of bi fans latched onto this character of Li Shang because... according to them, again, I haven't seen the movie, so like, don't hate mail me here. Don't at me about this unless you're bi and want to like give me some real real facts. But apparently, this character is clearly attracted both to Mulan and her male alter ego Ping, because like the plot of the movie is essentially that this Chinese girl enters the Chinese army but has to pretend to be a dude to do so because of some like family honor thing. I'm super paraphrasing and haven't seen the movie. But anyway, apparently this character sees her both as a woman and as a man in different parts of the film and appears to be equally attracted to her. Mm. Or at least that's how bi people have interpreted the character. Yeah, that character is not going to exist.
Bye.
That makes me laugh.
I mean, that also sounds very omnisexual, which... omnisexual is you're interested in someone regardless of gender. So it's not being interested in two or multiple or any kind of gender. It's being interested in the person. And that feels...
People who want to fuck Pac-Man are called omnisexuals. You all right?
I don't know why I like that so much.
Great.
When they blow you, it sounds like
okay, great. Cool. That's the news.
That was fun. Well, I want to thank some Patreon members for their money. We have an interesting batch this time. First, Keith Zeller, it just happened to come up that this was his thank you episode. So just timing, timing worked out. So thanks for the 100 words.
Dunkashane.
Thanks. Sure. Thank you to Christopher Farrell or Pharrell. Don't need to do
it. Pharrell
any.
Gave
well,
us money?
You know, I was saying it the other way just to avoid that. Desmond McDowell, who sounds like the classiest English butler. Desmond McDowell at your service. This one took me on a little bit of a journey. Yurda Sells Avon, all one word, which I was like, what am I saying? Because that's not a name. They were like, there's like capitalization in there. Yurda sells Avon. And apparently that is a Scottish insult, meaning your dad.
Your dad sells Avon?
Avon.
Door to door.
Yes.
Perfume?
Yes.
And makeup?
Yeah.
Great.
So there was like this.
Your dad sells Avon?
There's a whole world of Scottish insults that don't make sense to English American.
They probably don't make sense to them either.
And then the name, the full name of this next person, Lance Bromance, parentheses, I'm wearing my hat backwards for Kyle.
Oh, Lance Bromance.
Your parents gave you a fucking weird name, Lance. It's oddly specific to this scenario, so they had some foresight, but I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who gives us money.
Yeah, thank you.
Stuff. And you get bonus stuff if you do that.
We appreciate it.
Patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
Yes.
We haven't mentioned this. Something we got to start doing recently because of Patreon is Dan. We can pay Dan now. Dan is no longer a free labor. Is no longer an unpaid internship.
Which complicates us sexually harassing him.
We really have to think so long and so hard before doing it.
You have consent.
Okay, great.
This is the recording that will be played in court afterwards.
Did we get that in writing? I had you fill out a fuck ton of paperwork. So.
Yeah. Now you're not free labor. You're minimally paid labor. So great. Thank you, Patreon.
Way
for
less
doing
than minimum
that.
Wage for sure. Wait. Oh, yeah. Don't put that in court.
Okay, yes.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
Mike, when we started our podcast, there were no other gay podcasts.
Zero.
Zero.
None whatsoever.
We were the very first.
We blazed our own trail. Our own treasure trail. We shaved it.
Just like Harry's blazed their own trail because there were no other razors before they existed.
Right. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry, decided to do something better.
I use Harry's and it gives me a smooth, fresh looking face when I shave around my beard. And I really like their products.
Yeah, I do too. The razors are really, really good. But also I enjoy the body wash. I think it smells super awesome. I use the fig. flavor pretty regularly.
Well, if you want to get in on the action, don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 set for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
Yeah, it's a 5-blade razor with a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
That's harrys.com/gayish for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, get it.
Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do. Yes, it was a big deal because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah. Well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola. It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation.
So, do you want to talk about poker?
Poker, I barely know her. That had to happen at least once, right? There it is. Great.
Well, okay.
I love it.
Well, I don't think I... Can you read the... I just handed you a card. Can you
this
read it?
This says in Kyle's handwriting, bet Mike will say poker, I hardly know her, within the first 5 minutes of the show. Now, if we call when the show started, when we actually got to the main topic, 100% you win.
No, I did mean...
I went with Lady Gaga instead of this and button-hooked you. Okay, got it. Great.
Button-hooked me. Is that a poke? So, okay, this is actually a good segue. And can I start?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a segue into I'm going to teach us about some poker terms.
Okay, great.
So this was the first one. Okay. I made a bet. I lost the bet.
Yeah.
I thought
you anteed up.
Well, actually, you know who likes poker? Is my dad's sister.
Yeah.
That's Auntie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is she good at it? Is she better than that joke?
She's not into it. That was a bluff.
Oh. Great.
We've just learned so many poker words, everybody.
Oh, great.
Okay, but there are other more interesting poker words. So we're going to play a little bit of a game.
Okay.
And it's called Gay or Poker.
Okay.
And great. A lot of these suggestions I got from Bob Tran on Patreon. So thank you, Bob. So I'm going to read you words. All of these are poker words.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these have a gay meaning.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you if you
So is it poker or gay or both? Or is it one or the other?
It's definitely poker.
Definitely
it
poker.
Might be gay.
Okay.
So I'm going to have you, well, first tell me if you know what the poker definition is. And then I'm going to have to have you tell me what the gay definition is.
Sure.
And either it will be right or wrong, or you just made it up because it's not a gay thing.
Great.
So we're going to start with an easy example. Straight would be like an example of like straight cards in a row. The gay or the, you know, the other meaning is, you know, those annoying people that are like really loud and in charge of the government. Okay. So the first term though for you, Mike, is backdoor.
Backdoor.
Do you know what that means in poker?
I don't. Backdoor.
Backdoor straight is an example of.
I don't.
You can't think of a non-gay meaning for backdoor.
I can't.
Straight.
You broke me again. Is that just like? Is that just mean? Yeah, I don't know.
A draw that needs to catch two consecutive cards in order to complete it.
Sure.
So backdoor straight would be on the in five card. No, in Texas Hold'em.
Yeah.
The last two cards. That are the communal cards.
Mm-hmm. Just so everybody knows what kind of episode this is going to be. This is a straight thing Kyle and I know nothing about.
Well,
we do those kinds of episodes
bit.
From time to time.
I know a little. Like, okay. Yes. But I know a little bit more than people would expect, I think.
Sure. Like a lot of things. You're so annoying.
Thank you.
I think it's also notable that this maybe marks the first time that we announced the episode topic to our Patreon listeners early and got their feedback on topic ideas. Yeah. So yes. that was really fun.
Which
and people
we,
really engaged.
Which we summarily ignored.
No, I just Bob Tran. I just said that.
It's fine. Yes, you did. You did. You did.
Bob Tran. Yeah. I read your post. Yeah.
Bob Tran, that's in poker, that's when you have three aces and you win.
And that you heard it here first. It's not funny, but it's just what it is. Yep. Okay. Backdoor in gay.
Oh, well, a backdoor straight, that's a straight guy that likes anal play.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, the term was just backdoor, so yeah, it's your butt.
Great.
Blind.
Blind. That is the a amount of money that has to be bet compulsorily by whoever is sitting next to the dealer.
That's a big blind and little blind.
In Hold'em.
In Hold'em. Blind is an action that you have to take without looking at your cards. So that is a type of blind.
It's in Pride 48, it's a kind of J.
Hey, blind guy J. Do you know what else that word means?
It's the thing you hide behind when you're hunting for ducks. I don't.
What? Is that a hunting term?
Yeah.
Okay, this is not the hunting episode, Mike. Don't get
sorry.
Don't get it confused. Don't confuse. We one straight thing at a time.
Okay.
In Australian, it means extremely drunk.
Oh, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, doesn't it? Okay, the next term, bad beat.
Bad beat. You got beat real bad.
It is a draw that needs to catch two consecutive cards in order to complete.
Mm.
So it's like bad beat because it's like difficult to get that.
Okay.
And like you just need to get lucky on those two cards.
Mm-hmm.
In gay?
S&M gone wrong.
But if it's a bad beat, maybe it's right.
It's true.
No, that doesn't mean anything in gay. Okay. So I like your definition is now the definition. I mean, stud.
Stud. It's a kind of poker in which the cards you get are the cards you get. No drawing allowed.
There's a... It's a poker variant where there are a combination of up cards and down cards. So, like, some cards may be visible to everyone. But, yeah, no community cards. In gay? It's not.
It's describing us.
Okay. No. The definition in Urban Dictionary, Mike and Kyle.
Yeah.
No, it's not that.
Type of earring.
No, but that's, I mean, yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Man, all these words have a lot of different, this is a shout out to our episode where we talked about this. Stud means African-American or Latina masculine lesbian, known as butch or aggressive.
Great.
So that's a stud.
Okay.
Which I remember talking about now that I reread this.
Mm-hmm.
Sit and go.
Sit and go? I have no idea.
It's a poker tournament that starts as soon as a designated number of entrants is reached.
Oh, okay.
What about in gay?
I don't know. Dance face on a Saturday?
That is not a gay term.
Oh, well.
So that's the definition now.
Okay, great.
Nuts.
Nuts.
Yes. What does that mean in let's start with poker.
Well, my dad calls eights dog balls. So is it eights?
In that they're not there? Did he take out the eights from the deck?
I guess because you turn an eight sideways and it looks like balls. I don't know.
Huh.
But that's the only thing I got.
It is a poker tournament that starts as soon as a designated number of entrants is reached. Hold on.
This sounds sit and go on your nuts.
Well, that's the wrong. I copied and pasted the wrong thing.
Oh,
Dan, what does nuts mean in poker?
Let's see. In poker, the best possible hand for any arrangement of cards is known as the nuts.
Oh.
That's what I said, not whatever I said before.
Sometimes you'll be fortunate enough to hold the nut hand after all the cards have been dealt.
So gay.
So gay, right? What does that mean in gay?
I
mean, there are two possible answers. And they tell... they say a lot about you.
Go ahead.
Oh, that was funny. No, well, okay. Yeah, I was accidentally funny. No, I mean, other word is ejaculates, like nuts, which I think it's very telling which one you think, like, nuts being like testicles or nuts being like a nutted, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I also find that black guys are more likely to use that word as a verb. Like it's pretty, like it's cultural. There's something cultural happening there because I don't ever say that word to mean that, but I recognize its meaning.
Oh.
But it seems... Anyway, I don't know.
I haven't noticed any like patterns, but yeah, I don't use it, but I want to because it sounds hot. Like, nut in my butt.
Okay.
Slut.
Wow.
That's the name of my next podcast. What about a nut flush?
A nut flush. That's the best flush, I guess.
Ace high flush. Yeah. Wow. Way to use context clues. In gay?
I mean, that's when you just got railed and you use the toilet.
Yeah. Urinating after, well, it said after masturbating, but you know, whatever. Urinating after masturbating to flush out the residual nut in your penis.
Oh, okay.
Or I presume in your butt. Yeah. Two more. Wet board.
Wet board. I don't know what that means in poker.
That is when the flop or the first three cards that are put out during Texas Hold'em, the communal cards, when the flop allows for a large number of possible plays. So wet means a lot of people could play. There are a lot of options. Dry board is there are not too many options.
Yeah, and that flop is juicy.
Mm-hmm. Wap.
It's a wap.
Wet ass poker?
Wet ass poker. Did you see the clip of Gilbert Gottfried reading the lyrics to WAP?
I saw it was a thing, but I did not listen to it. It's
fucking fantastic. Is it? Yes.
He like jumps out every now and then to be like, I know I'm weird and I'm going to use that so that everyone has fun. Mm-hmm, you know, like he just does that in a really, so does like Keanu Reeves, just like Bill Murray. Like these are people that just kind of pop out every now and then and they're like, I know I'm this. So I'm going to do like Bill Murray showed up at some random wedding. Like it's just good people that just be nice all of a sudden.
Yeah.
What does a wet board mean in gay?
I don't know. I just keep thinking about like I've been in the pool, but I don't like it.
Like gay ambivalence towards a party or something.
This is wet and I'm bored.
Like, well, yeah, no, it's not a gay term. So I think gay ambivalence could be a good new definition for that. Last one, sandbagging.
Sandbagging. Sandbagging is when you don't bet so it looks like you don't have anything, but you actually do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yep.
Fuck yeah!
Woo! I think about that when we play spades.
Yeah.
This is apparently that's outside of sandbagging because like if you just hit your exact target and it's a super low target that you artificially set for yourself, then you give the other person tricks and that makes them take, like you get a deduction if you get more than you bet.
Yeah. There's like a feeling of being weighed down, right? That's the.
Yeah. By a sand. Sure. What's it? What's that in gay?
Putting a ring on it.
Explain the logic to get me there.
Oh, a sandbag is like weighing you down.
Oh, this is like...
Great.
Wow, Mike's view on marriage. Okay.
Or a cock ring. could be that kind of ring you're putting
on it. Oh, there we go. Then it weighs you. Okay, that one is more. No, it's not a gay term. But, well, the only gay in that we have is it is a word used by truckers to mean very slow driving. And Jacob Rainey,
yeah,
our resident gay trucker.
Yeah.
So it's gay in that way.
Yeah.
Jacob, do you ever say sandbagging? Let us know in the comments.
Do you want to?
Like and subscribe. Do you want to? So those are some gay terms.
Great.
And yeah, but that's was Bob's point. And I think someone else on Patreon commented that too. Like, these terms sound kind of gay.
Yeah.
That's for something that's so stereotypically straight. Like, that's as you mentioned, like, why we're talking about this. Like, there's just so many innuendos.
Yeah.
Is it poker, or is it just that we find innuendos everywhere we look? Like, is it them or us? Who should we blame?
You know, there's some mysteries of the universe that we'll just never get to the bottom of, Kyle.
Which bottom?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about that, but that is a bigger question that I have. Like, do a lot of stereotypically masculine or straight things actually have a lot of like homoeroticism or like homosexual subtext, or are we just trying to, like, do we just see a straight thing and we're like trying to make it gay somehow, so we make everything like a joke about being gay?
It's a great question. What do you think?
You can't Socrates me.
I mean, okay, so like poker is, at least from my seat, decidedly a masculine thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it evokes mm-hmm. images of dudes abusing their wives to bring them snacks while their friends play in the basement with like smoke rings blowing around the I think some of that, this is sort of a good segue.
Ooh.
I think some of that is poker also, at least for me, evokes imagery from the Wild West, and specifically the Dead Man's Hand. Are you familiar with the Dead Man's Hand? Okay, great.
So, wow, that was a good, that seemed seamless. Are you talking about the Dead Man's Hand?
I'm going to talk about the Dead Man's Hand and some things that are involved with it.
That
yes.
was such a great segue.
Well, thank you.
We're professionals.
This has been Gayish. I'm Mike Johnson.
Oh, speaking of professionals,
yeah,
I found a rosé called The Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a rosé that has like a poker card on it, or a poker card. I know a lot about poker, can you tell? Mm-hmm. It has a jack of hearts on it. This was not pre-planned. I just happened to find it when I was at the store outside your place.
It's
mere moments ago, so yeah. I didn't actually plan it out.
But it looks great.
I know, right?
And it's belongs.
Cute. Yeah.
Let's get a picture of that before you empty it.
Oh, well, no. Okay. Catch it in the next 5 minutes then. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the history of poker, it is by most accounts a game that appeared in the early 19th century. And it is thought, perhaps, so there's a book that I did not read called Masculinities in the Criminological Field, Control, Vulnerability, and Risk-Taking by Ingrid Lander and Signe Raven. And in it, there's a whole chapter on poker and gambling being masculine as a substitution for war.
Huh.
That it's very much a dominance thing, an alpha male thing, to have this psychological melodrama that's happening on the table of, I have power or do I? And like, are you going to put your money where your mouth is? It's a very combative framework.
Yeah.
And that is, in primates, more often a masculine thing.
Go and ahead. Dudes like external based, you said drama, which like that stuck out to me because like, you know, you don't associate dudes and drama, but like they like, it seems like they like external ways, like war, like poker, like these are external things that we can pretend like it's just about the poker, but it's, we can pretend like war is just about whatever, but it's actually about like your own internal drama that you can't get over and need to like put into something tangible, and yeah. You're a dude, so you're not allowed to express it, so you have to push it into something like a war, like
fantasy football
class. Yours is, but you know, like it's an expression of feelings or emotion that men have to do because they can't say the real feelings they have.
Yeah.
Is that Wow, is that really smart, or am I currently high?
I'm with you.
Oh, cool, and great.
Yeah. Are you high?
I don't think so. I didn't smoke anything, so I don't know what's in this Jack wine, but...
Well, you did buy it from a pretty shady place. Okay, so something that's unique about poker, the rules involved in poker, various games could be the genesis of that, but what's definitely an early 19th century poker-specific thing is the betting. Playing with your friends and betting in this sort of strategic phase-based paradigm, that's a poker thing. And the Old West, I always think of, like, you know, that old-timey movie when, like, there's the double swingy doors into the saloon and there's going to be at least a table or two of whiskey-drinking cowboys playing cards together, right? So it turns out that, like, there's some basis in that trope in reality. So you know who Wild Bill Hickok is?
No.
Well, Wild Bill Hickok is an Old West folk hero, lawman and gunfighter, and he's not always portrayed as the protagonist in all of these stories, but is largely this iconic protagonist hero laying down the law, etc. Anyway, in on August 2nd, 1876, in Nuttall and Mann's Saloon at Deadwood, South Dakota.
I'm sorry, which man are we nutting?
Great. he was playing five-card stud. Might have been five-card draw. There's some disparities in the stories here. But James Butler Hickok, better known as Wild Bill Hickok, was shot in the back of the head by Jack McCall while playing poker. And the hand that he was holding at the time of his death is called the Dead Man's Hand, which there's not universal agreement on what the Dead Man's Hand was actually, but most often is portrayed as black eights, black aces, and some other fifth card. And it has turned into this thing that we talk about, the Dead Man's Hand. Have you ever heard any of this before?
No.
This is like, you're looking at me like I've grown another head.
Yes.
So, okay, great.
Yes. and after this, we should do something about that head.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, cut it off before it starts talking. But there weren't any actual, like, contemporaneous accounts of this that said what the hand actually was. In the earliest version of that story in 1866, it was described as a full house consisting of three jacks and a pair of tens, which is not... I said to my brother last night sitting on the couch, it's aces and eights, right? And he's like, yeah, it's aces and eights. It's aces and eights. But that's
now,
how it became that, who knows?
Oh. Nowadays, people would say that Dead Man's Hand is aces and eights.
Yep.
And black specifically. Interesting.
Yep. So anyway, it ties in to these ideas of good versus evil, a lawman versus a criminal, and they're playing poker, and it's this epic battle between the forces of all of, and it's really interesting to me that I think that that's part of why there's an association there. That it's like, you're in the Old West, you could die at any minute, let's play poker. So I will add that this has been portrayed in many, many, many TV shows, movies, books, songs,
like that moment in time.
And in the 1936 movie The Plainsman, Wild Bill Hickok was played by Gary Cooper. And I wanted to take just a brief aside here to talk about the gay rumors surrounded Gary Cooper, because he apparently could have been a BMQ, as far as we know, based on some stories. Like,
okay, you're saying BMQ?
That's the Polari word of the week, Kyle. Yay!
Okay. Whew.
BMQ, according to Fantabulosa, the Dictionary of Polari and Gay Slang, a BMQ stands for Black Market Queen, someone who hides his homosexuality.
Huh. How does that do that? Black market?
Yeah.
Oh, like black market, like underground.
It's happening,
like,
on the DL.
I was like, oh, like he's selling himself?
Maybe.
I want to put myself up for sale on the black market.
Maybe. Okay.
Come get at me.
You, I mean, we already said you want to be lost in a poker game because your boyfriend bets you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Black market.
BMQ. BMQ is your Polari word of the week. It means black market queen, somebody who hides his homosexuality. But Gary Cooper had gay rumors.
I don't know who that is.
Super famous actor. I think his heyday was the 1930s. But it's like super duper famous. Like the Tom Cruise of his day. That's not problematic at all. Talking about gay rumors.
Would you say he's on the A-list?
He was in 1936. Absolutely.
Oh, so that's interesting. You can... like identify people that are for a specific moment in time on an A-list. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting, Mike. That's great. Very interesting to me and everyone else.
Great. Great. He was a womanizer. It's already on the list.
I know, but I can't. Like, this is like, you could have a card that you hand to me of like, I will say womanizer, and Kyle will say womanizer, woman, womanizer, you're a womanizer, oh womanizer, oh you're a womanizer, baby.
But
I won't.
He was married a bunch of times. And
to ladies.
To ladies, yes. And let's see. Where am I? Clara Bow was one of his romantic relationships, who was also a famous actress. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. I want to get to the part that matters because I'm running longer than I wanted to. So he had a fairly well-documented friendship in his late 20s with the openly gay actor Anderson Lawler, with whom Gary Cooper shared a house on and off for a year. That was at the same time he was seeing Clara Bow, Evelyn Brent, and Lupe Velez. So Lupe Velez once told Hedda Hopper that during her affair with Cooper, whenever he would come home after seeing Lawler, Anderson Lawler, this man, she would take down his pants to sniff for his cologne. Apparently, she consented to his sexual behavior with Lawler, or at least this biographer says that she said she was okay with him banging this dude, but only as long as she, too, could participate.
Wow. Okay. That's not what I would expect from someone in the 30s.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, like, yeah, he had this friend that he was maybe banging, or at least it was suspicious enough that one of his many girlfriends was jealous or suspicious of him and said, like,
and
yeah,
he wanted to be cocked.
Yeah, let's totally have a three-way. So, all of that's sort of a tenuous connection, but Gary Cooper played Wild Bill Hickok, who was the holder of the dead man's hand in that moment in history in the Wild West, and I've brought it home. That's my segment.
I've done it, and that's the end. And now I'm done, and that's the end.
Feel free to congratulate me before we move on.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about the current gays in poker.
Hey, Kyle.
Oh, hey, Mike.
How did I do on the Polari?
I think you did great.
Okay,
I really enjoyed it.
Great. I mean, the you didn't see it coming.
Oh no, I did. Well, but, okay, I didn't see it coming, but also like. You said a thing and I questioned it. It just worked like it should.
Yeah.
I am a type of person that tends to like try to go along with things, even if I don't know what's going on. So like whenever I actually say like, I don't know what that means, I feel very like more honest than I usually am.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of myself.
I'm proud of you too.
Thanks.
I'm proud of all of us.
I'm proud of everyone. Every one of us, except Dan. Okay. The there are two poker games that I want to talk about. One, Kevin Henderson recommended or told me about her. Her name is Vanessa Selbst.
Vanessa Selbst.
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 BST. Mm-hmm. And she is...
gay.
Gay. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She's like the most badass person. Like I just wrote down like some of the most badass things about her. Both poker and otherwise, she's the only woman to reach number one in the world in the Global Poker Index.
Okay.
And in fact, that thing I said is true. I had no follow up. I don't know why I said it like that. Another at the next item, the next thing unrelated. She's earned almost $12 million in live poker tournament winnings.
What?
I know, right? That's so much
they make
money.
So much money.
Yeah, but I think that's
why,
like,
are we doing this?
Because well, that's right. My bluff earlier was so good. I could be she's the highest earning female in poker history. She's the only woman to cross the $10 million mark in earnings. Mm. She is also the only gay person to cross the $10 million mark in earnings.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Which I'm always on this like weird, like, I hate when you have to say like categorize them based on their orientation or their gender or whatever. But it's also important to recognize that, like, in a traditionally male sport,
Male sport, she gets the nut a lot.
So ironic. Is it a sport?
Games that are not actually sports, but are on ESPN anyway, I think is a category that could be explored.
But are they on ESPN 1? I think that's when you've made it. Or is this like ESPN 3, the poker channel?
I think the World Series of Poker has been on like the main first ESPN before there were other ESPNs to ESPN.
Oh, wow. Good for them. They really made it. Poker's really earning a name for itself. Mm-hmm. It might just be a thing. yeah. Okay. She has won 3 bracelets, which, as you and I both know, is what you win when you win the World Series of Poker.
Absolutely.
I knew that before this moment. Kind of gay, too.
Yeah.
You get a bracelet. No, that's straight. Gays would never wear bracelets nowadays.
Is it a Livestrong bracelet?
No, it's an Earnstrong. It's like a jeweled, shiny, I don't know.
Okay. Like a tennis bracelet? Oh, God.
It's like... Ugh. Yeah, okay. Now that Dan's showing us a picture, now that we see that, that's super straight because, like, it's, like, gaudy and gold and not cute.
I hate it.
It's like New Jersey... Mafia connections.
Like, Snooki straight. Has worn one of those bracelets for sure.
Or the situation.
Yes.
And I love that they're showing us this hideous thing laying atop bundles of money.
Mm-hmm. You know it's good because there's all this money in the background. Oh, my God. In my next Grindr profile picture, I should just have, like, money all behind me. And be like, you know I'm good. Or would I look like a sex worker?
Just go, use euros.
I'm expensive and foreign. Like a Tesla. No, that's not foreign. Like a Bugatti? Is that foreign?
Maserati.
Like a BMW. Germany.
Yeah.
Gutensnogen.
Also, Nazis. Go ahead.
Oh, shit. Okay, they did the best anti-Nazi-ing, better than the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to, like, do shit there.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Vanessa.
Okay, yes,
Vanessa. While we were. She is... Yep, Vanessa Schleps. The sound she makes when licking pussy.
Wep.
Okay, sorry.
Some wet-ass poker.
Okay, she is the only... So that's why I also wanted to include this. She's the only poker player, not the only woman or the only gay, only poker player to win the same... North American Poker Tour main event back-to-back.
Oh.
So, like, I just include that because she's done a lot of shit and also is an amazing poker player. She's not an amazing female poker player. She's not an amazing gay poker player. She's an amazing poker player.
Yeah, yeah. Can lesbians have sex back-to-back? Is that...
I mean, if you reach your hand, it's like a reach-around, like a lady reach-around.
Hmm.
I think.
Hmm.
Or, like, if you put a dildo, like a double-sided dildo between you, both bend over.
Lesbians, let us know. Nope, don't.
You know, let us know in text form. Not
just, as a yes or no answer. Like, no further explanation needed.
I just get a bunch of texts like, yes, 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 no. Okay, outside of poker, she went to Yale on a Fulbright scholarship. She was the head of the Queer Straight Alliance there, and she has a JD. So she like works for a hedge fund or something right now.
Oh, wow.
So
that's where the real money is.
She's yeah. She wanted to. She has a I forget if it's a girlfriend or wife and a kid. Wife. She has a wife. And so she wanted a more stable job where she got to be home more often. So yeah.
That's awesome.
That was longer than I thought. Should I have you say something, or should I tell you about the other guy?
Tell me about the other one.
Okay. There's this gay dude. So Ryan LaPlante is not the first, but a gay dude that plays poker. He, interestingly, like, it's always interesting to get gay people's who are in the thing, like their perspective of the thing on, you know, is it homophobic or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Like when we talk to the hockey player. And,
yes. Brock.
Hey, what's it actually like? Well,
Brock is such a hot name.
Brock McGillis. He's hot. Fuck.
Yeah. His hat backwards, just like Lance Bromance.
Yeah.
Man, I'm glad. You know, there's some things you're like, it's a good thing I put that out there, because then I kind of get it.
Yeah.
Then people give it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get a little bit of backwards hats for me.
Put that on the list.
I guess. That was not intentional. That was just a song.
I mean, pre-show checklist should have keep track of any songs.
Write down every song.
It happens way more often than we think it does.
I know. I'm sorry.
Because I was listening to that one episode today on the way home, and I was like, three songs.
Do we need to talk about why you were listening to us?
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm happy to say it, and it's gonna.
You know what? Go ahead.
The show's gonna be over. I think that we are maybe serving the same function as Bob's Burgers for you, or at least used to. In that, like, when I'm feeling shitty, when I'm kind of hungover, when I'm driving, and I don't want to like be alone with my thoughts, I'll play us sometimes because it's comforting. It's comforting to hear. Like,
that's horrifying.
Why?
you enjoy going,
especially now that we've been doing this for so long. I'm always like, hey, I wonder what we said about this thing in the 70s or the 30s or whatever. And, yeah.
And you wonder what we said when we started our podcast in the 30s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
was Gary Cooper invited?
was he dead by then?
Yeah.
Who knows? I have listened only during the Gay White Privilege episode. Did I go back and listen to what I said about Stonewall and shit? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. To hear, like, this is before I knew what I was talking about, but like did a bunch of research and that's like a weird thing. Like, I'd learn things for the first time and then talk to you about them, mm-hmm. and then later learn so much more about them. So you're like hearing me at my most ignorant, basically, yeah, sure. On this podcast. I can't, when I'm feeling my worst, I would not want to listen to myself, because I'd be like, I'm correct, I'm horrible.
I get that. This particular episode, I played it because somebody wrote in this week about that episode to say, I hope that Mike figured out his whatever it was. And I was like, did we talk about that? That seems kind of heavy. And then I listened to the episode, and yeah, we got real dark.
Yeah. Oh, did you figure it out, whatever that person asked?
No. It's episode 70-something, Passing. And in that episode, we have this conversation with each other about whether we have forgiven ourselves for the things we did to ourselves when we were in the closet.
Fuck, I remember that.
And I couldn't on the show, and I definitely couldn't now. So congrats, Kyle. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know. I rolled the dice. Poker. No. Hold on.
Episode 78.
And it was 2018 and pre-COVID, and we talk about,
like, you know.
Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Ryan LaPlante.
Gay poker player.
You were about to say gay poker face.
Gay poke him face.
Gay poke him or face. I don't have another one of these cards to give you, but so you can say it as much as you want now. He said, quote, the poker community is really open-minded. There are a lot of alternative culture people that play poker.
Okay.
Alternative culture people feels like a weird way to
talk about
it.
Sucking dick. But yeah.
All the dicks in your mouth, like, this is so alternative. I love how alternative this is. I mean, I know what he's saying. Like, I think it's like, hey, there are some non-whites and non-straights and non-stupids or whatever. Mm-hmm. So Ryan LaPlante, he's not the first out gay poker player. But I just thought he had an interesting story. He won the bracelet,
mm-hmm.
as we know now what that means, the bracelet. 'Cause they kept saying that, like, he won a bracelet.
Ugh.
Yeah, no. In 2016, openly gay. When he won in 2016, it was the same night as the Pulse shooting.
Hmm.
It's a real downer when you achieve a major life goal. And so he said he was not planning on making a speech, but he did end up making a speech. He was on the stage. His husband, or I think at the time, fiance maybe, Chris Katona, like, presented him with the bracelet. They both were probably like, ew, it's so ugly. Chris is like, I'm so sorry, David. I have to do this. It's the ceremony. I'll get you a cuter one later. Oh my God. That night, man, they fucked real good. And he wore the bracelet on his dick as a cock ring. Sure. This is my Ryan LaPlante fantasy fiction.
We rule whatever it is. There's probably a porn about that.
That's true. Okay. So in his speech, he said, quote, I can't wait to get my dick sucked later. No, no, no. He said, at the end, he said, did you for a second think you might have said that?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was very natural.
Bluff. Thank you. I'm up so bad at poker.
Are you?
Yeah. Are you?
I do okay. Huh. Not good at it, but part of I don't think of myself as being like a very competitive person at all. I love games and I like to win, but I'm not like, I don't need to win.
I'm a more competitive person than people know.
Yes, you are.
You know this?
Yeah.
How? Why? What do you?
Okay. So when we're playing a game, you get your shit together. Like, you are in it. You are focused. You're clearly developing like a cutthroat strategy. Like it's apparent to me the change in your demeanor when you are playing a game, and it says that you're more invested in it than a lot of other things we do.
That's true. I care more about it than our friendship.
Great.
And I have to do this thing when I'm like playing games and I lose that, like, this is fun and this has been fun. And like, I'm like disappointed, but I have to pretend like I'm not. And it's very difficult because I do care. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Like I played, which is funny when I play sports, like I played with my old company did this like soccer thing where you get in bubbles, like you get in the bubble and your feet can run around and kick and stuff. And people were so surprised because all of a sudden I was like running people down, bumping my bubble into theirs. I scored several goals for our team. Like I was exhausted by the end of it, but I was like, well, I'm doing this. So like, I don't want to lose at this game. Anyway, yes, I'm more competitive, which is like so frustrating about poker because it involves, like, it is not a strategy you can build and then you do things. It's like, I mean, it is, but like, it's so relies on your like acting and your face and your interaction with people. And I'm so bad at that stuff. Ugh.
I would think you'd be really good at it. I'm kind of surprised.
I think, well, actually reading some of these terms actually helped me understand, like, just understanding, like, if the flop is wet or dry board, like understanding, like, okay, more people will be able to make things out of this, so it's more likely, like, I think I would just have to do a lot more to learn about the strategy. But I hate like lying. I don't hate lying. I lie a bunch, but like I hate like having to, like, games where you have to pretend like Secret Hitler. Man, Nazis is a running theme in this. Why? I don't know. Secret Hitler, like,
you did not see this coming. Great. Go ahead.
I don't have a car for Mike makes a Nazi joke. Anyway, okay, this is not what I'm talking about. How are we? What's happening?
I don't know.
For the iTunes reviewers, was that all me?
What?
Everyone says that I'm the one that gets off track.
I don't think that's true.
I know. I want to blame you too, but the reviewers on the internet say it's me, so I don't know what to think. Okay, well, I'm getting us focused. David, Ryan LaPlante.
Good job.
David LaPlante.
This refocusing is going really well.
He says, one, I'm going to get my dick sucked later. And two, he also said, I'm proud to be an openly gay man. I encourage all of you to be proud of who you are and to be comfortable to be open about who you are about who you are with those around you, if you choose to do so. Finally, please treat each other with love and respect, because there's too much hate and anger in this world. Mm. He did it earlier when he was like giving acceptance. He talked about Pulse Massacre and like how shitty he was. And then he a year later said that he still has people thank him for that speech. And he said that in this article on, I think it was Poker, I got my info from two sources, pokerlistings.com and pokernewsdaily.com. Very reputable poker news.
They're basically
sites,
basically peer reviewed journals.
Exactly. This is, yeah, this is my data. he said that when he was doing this interview, that he had someone a few days ago come up, and it was excited to meet him, was almost in tears, talking about like the fact that he was meeting an openly, you know, another openly gay poker player. So it's, you know, it seems like in so many sports there are no gay out gay people. So mm-hmm. it seems like even though there are few, like there are at least a handful of out gay poker players.
Yeah.
Which sure. is so interesting that like poker seems far more masked to me, or straight, stereotypically straight, than even things like football or soccer, or, well, soccer's pretty gay, but like, you know, like it's just interesting that there could be more out people in poker.
Yeah.
At least than I expected. So yeah, those are the poker gays.
Nice.
And I was trying to think of like why that could, I don't know. I think, I feel like there's something about poker that seems, it actually seems conducive to being out, because like there's no locker room.
Yeah.
There's no physical contact. It's yeah. like you're sitting around and like you're all doing this one thing where you're trying to read and understand each other, but it's also like you're not bringing like super personal things. It's not like, I mean, I know it's on ESPN, but there's not like, we don't all follow the private lives of all the poker players. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Right.
It just seems yeah. like it could, it kind of makes sense in a weird way to me, like conducive to being gay.
There's a poker player who I think goes by the moniker the Unabomber, and like he always wears sunglasses and a hood.
Oh, I don't, well, I didn't know the nickname. I think I've seen that. But there are some times where my, like in the past when I've been like at home with my brother and my dad and they're watching the World Series of Poker.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is the fucking worst. is there a football game on, because this sucks, I hate this. But
so I agree, I've been in that scenario pretty often, like fraternity brothers will watch the oh, shit yeah. or whatever, but like I just turn it into a game with the math. I just pay attention to the math of like, because they're always like show you the flop or whatever, and then they'll show you the cards of the players, and then they'll show the percentages
oh,
of
yeah,
like
yeah.
this is the percentage chance that he's going to win or they're going to win
yeah.
or whatever. And I always try to predict those before they put them up on the screen and
oh.
learn about like, because it's 52 cards. Like the math isn't that hard,
yeah.
but like there's a lot going on, and that makes it fun.
Yeah.
So
oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've talked for a lot about a lot of
you're
things.
Fine. So did I.
Okay.
It's our show. We do what we fucking
That's
want,
true.
Kyle.
Why do I feel guilty about things I do on my own show? I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm pouring myself some wine and talk about butts for the next 5 minutes.
Great.
So there was one butt, actually. I was going to figure out how to make this into my biased moment of the month. Biased. Mm-hmm. I went to the grocery store the other day. Ah, oh, man, I'm confirming all the iTunes reviewers' worst fears. Damn
fine.
It. I'm all over the place.
I thought you stopped reading reviews. Fuck them.
I did once recently, and it's now, this is why I don't read them, because I like was walking into the grocery store, and I saw this chick with this, like, she just had like really tight shorts on, and she had a banging ass, and I like did a double take, and then was like uncomfortable, and like that's the stereotype of bi people, like they're like into both sexes but also very uncomfortable and awkward.
Yeah.
And then I like walked in and saw this dude that had like a banging ass, and I was like, asses everywhere,
ass, put from, that on the list
from my ass to my anus. Okay,
we for sure referenced that song before. If it's not
I'm
on the
sure,
if it's not on the Spotify playlist,
the amount of times we reference that song in our personal lives.
Right.
Is... anyway,
okay.
Your thing now.
My thing now. I'll try to do this quickly. I was gonna do like
gayish.
Yeah. So I'll do the short version. Kenny Rogers is dead. He died this year.
End of segment.
And
I didn't know he died this year.
Yeah, he died in March. Oh. Not of COVID, as far as I can tell.
Every person that dies nowadays, I'm like, what's that?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, he was just 81. But arguably his most famous song and the only reason that we know who he is The Gambler. And what I wanted to do is I'm changing what I wanted to do as we speak, which always goes really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this song could be read as a old closeted gay making a new gay friend and then passing away. Here we go. Are you ready?
He wasn't gay, was he?
No.
Okay.
Yet. No, he's dead. I don't know.
Any kind of gay things he's going to do now are going to be very non-consensual.
Oh, man. Okay, so the protagonist, the speaker, what is that in
narrator?
Writing? The narrator. No, well, but they're the main character also. The point of view person is the young gay, and the gambler is the old gay, in my dramatic reading here. Here we go. On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness. Boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces, knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind me saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice." So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. No chuckling at that one. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light, and the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said that if you're going to play the game, boy, you got to learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Now, every gambler knows the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away and knowing what to keep. Because every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser. And the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. So when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out his cigarette, and faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. And in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. And then the chorus repeats like 40 times. I something about that when I was thinking through the lyrics today on the ride home, I was like, as an allegory for passing on knowledge and trying to help somebody do it right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like that can be a really gay thing. Yeah. Like I'm really enjoying talking to younger listeners and like trying to shut up, you
sorry,
two. Jesus
sorry.
Fucking Christ.
Sure, where are we going with this, Mike?
but like trying to be gay elder statesman, I really enjoy that. That's sort of like a natural role
in
my personality.
Even non-gay related, like just as in life, you are a caretaker, like yeah.
Yeah. And I think the short version of my segment is just that I think that song is great. It's about poker. It's about relationships. It's about mentorship. And it's about helping people below you, younger than you. God damn it, Dan.
I mean, we could take that as like, as people that are belowing you or people mm-hmm. below you physically because mm-hmm. you're on top. There's so many sexual. Okay. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. No. Good.
Great.
That's it.
Below.
I'm done. What?
You know what else is an allegory?
What?
That book about climate change.
Yeah. What?
Al Gore. It's Al Gore. Dan saying cut it. Dan saying that it's the cutting room.
Yeah. Do you want to bet whether that makes it to the actual show?
I that seems like one of those. First of all, thank you for your dramatic. I like when you do dramatic readings of things. I enjoy that. You should do that more. But also, it feels like it's generic sounds negative, but like it is one of those like things that could apply to so many situations that it makes sense that it applies to gay, but like could apply to a lot of different like mentorship type scenarios. Just like in the gay world, mentorship is so much more important because we have to get things from mentors and people outside our family, presumably because it's, you know, that's the only way we pass down our culture and what have you.
Well, and let's make it real sad. There's a whole generation of gay men that doesn't exist because of the AIDS crisis. Yeah. And so, like, as I'm now in my 40s, I'm realizing that there's, like, there's a missing niche there, right? And
yeah,
that's, no, the niche is there. The people are missing to fill it.
Yes, yes.
Fill me. Fill. Okay, great.
Fill my niche. yeah, well, actually, that's what I was thinking when you first said just, you know, the allegory for a older mentor, younger person is, yeah, like dying to me, older person dying, immediately I think of AIDS or yep. HIV. Like, that's my immediate, like, kind of the backstory that I would apply to something in that case, which, yeah, wow. Hmm. Why in our poker episode are we talking about people dying of AIDS? That's not where I expected.
Well, you know what? Because that iTunes reviewer is wrong.
Yeah.
I think some of our best shit is the connections that we make.
Yeah. Like, man, Snowbunny 43 is really getting a talking to on this episode. Fuck
so,
you.
So did we do it?
I'm trying to look through. Yep. Yep.
Everyone knows how to play poker now.
We
enjoy.
Didn't talk anything about, like, actually how to play poker. Poker is maybe now's a good time. Poker's a game where you have cards and then you no, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Great. Let's take a break.
Oh.
What?
My last definition.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do during the break? Flush.
Yeah, me too. Let's take a break.
Break.
Deal 'em.
I really do have to pee, though.
Okay, good.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
So are we back?
We're back. We're going to do... Okay, wait.
Okay.
I realized we didn't talk about... Oh, hey, Mike.
Wait.
Just fucking wait.
Be chill.
Be chill, everybody. You know what we're going to do next, but just wait for it. We didn't talk about a few things like strip poker or their like gay porn scenes with poker in it. And I feel like sometimes we get people like, you didn't talk about all these things, but I kind of like that we didn't. Like, you know, like that's sometimes like, yeah, we don't have to always talk about the sexual, like whatever thing. And sometimes we can just, I don't know.
Technically, I did talk about gay porn in my Patreon segment.
That's true. King Edward the Faggotist? What was his name?
Oh, Red Hot Pokers, the 4-hour gangbang video. Yeah.
So if you want more sexual things, I just enjoy sometimes not having to go to like the dirtiest places. And the fact that you all want it makes you slutty.
Yeah.
You dirty, slutty whores. You like that shit, don't you, motherfucker?
And eventually we'll accidentally do poker part two and we'll be talking about all of those.
Okay. First.
Our website is gayishpodcast.com.
Yes, that's what I was trying to lead into uncomfortably. We are on so much social media at Gayish Podcast, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Tweezers, Twazers, and Twitter. Mm-hmm.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, is 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rate supply.
Our email is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
And our physical mailing address, which I couldn't get into today because I forgot it was Labor Day, is Post Office Box 19882, Seattle, Washington, 98109.
Gayest and straightest.
Stuart, gayest and straightest. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Great. So the gayest thing about me this week... I had a dream that I was in a 5-way. That was pretty great.
We're erasing all the last parts of the episode. This is what we're talking about now. Go on.
So I have friends who are... I have friends who are in a poly situation. It's two couples that are then banging each other.
Is it Dan?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know. You have other poly friends?
Yeah.
Oh, and then, I'm offended on behalf of Dan. You're not allowed. He's the only one you're allowed.
There can only be one. Okay. Oh my God, can you imagine? We should write a show about somebody with multiple personality disorder where they're in a polycule with themselves.
The United States of Terra, part two.
United States of tearing it up. Okay. Anyway,
Sure. Okay. Tell us about your five.
No, I just had a dream that I was with the four of them, yeah. And it was real sexy.
You too?
It was yeah. great. So then I messaged them on Facebook.
No. Okay. And what did you say? What did they say?
They were like, oh, haha. Any details? And like, whatever.
Are you trying to make it happen?
I don't know. I don't know if I would, because like, so I'm friends with one of the couples, but not with the other couple. And so I don't even really know them, much less what they're even like, what they look like. I don't, anyway. So I would totally have a three-way with the couple, but then like the other couple, I don't know. If maybe.
Do I need to get involved here? Do I need to look at the messages and help you like make more like sexual innuendos to help?
Maybe we'll make that a shrinkage.
Well, just because like, I mean, if they said like, oh, what are the details? That means they might be interested. We could maybe make this happen.
Maybe. Maybe.
Can the shrinkage be called Mike Does a Five-Way?
Sure.
I don't know why I really want to help you have sex with four dudes.
I'm so nervous. I just picked up this thing to fuck with it.
You always futz with shit when you like get nervous. Oh my God. Okay. We'll talk about this later.
Great. The strangest thing about me this week, I went home to visit my mom because I haven't seen her since March, and I fixed her washing machine.
Oh.
I'm just like...
With what?
With my bare hands. So there's like, we had to like ask the washing machine what was wrong with it, because it goes into this diagnostic mode and you can tell, like you have to decode the flashing lights so you know which issue it is. And it was like, there's something wrong with the tub agitator sensor. And then I opened it up and I reached down in there and I could move the tub around, but it wouldn't spin. So then I like reefed on it real hard and it like went click and then started spinning. And then like after that, it worked great. So...
Okay, my advice when you're telling this to your potential five-way partners mm-hmm. is say that there was a broken car
mm-hmm.
that couldn't wash itself. And so you had to, there was no automatic advice on it, and you had to reach your hands in, and your hands are so adept at making things fit really well that you like locked it into place.
Sure.
And oil spilled everywhere.
Sure, yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah, there was lube everywhere.
So much lube. Great. My straightest.
Yeah.
You were there for.
Yeah.
I learned from my straight friends,
mm-hmm.
from my straight friend, Carly, what the phrase mushroom stamp was.
Yeah, that was great. That was so great.
Have you heard this word, this phrase before?
Girl, I was in a frat. Like, they're so gay. Okay. They talk about mushroom stamping all the time.
Dan, do you know what mushroom stamp is?
What comes to mind first is when you take a mushroom and you just pull the cap off the stem and then you dip it on an ink pad and you do stamps as a craft.
I'm so glad you're so wrong. Thank you. This is uh-huh. very helpful to me. I didn't know this either.
That's a spore print, right?
Is that it?
Oh, yeah, that is actually, you don't even need the ink, huh? It's like a whole thing.
You just leave it there and then it drops the spores and it makes a pattern when you pick it back up.
Of course, Mike knew more about it. My fantasy thing. My fantasy
ruined
definition.
No. What Kyle is about to tell you is going to be your new fantasy definition of what's happening.
Hold on to your dicks. Mushroom stamp is apparently when you slap your dick against someone's face because it leaves a stamp of your like your head on their face. A mushroom stamp. Okay, this makes me so happy that you don't know what this is.
It makes me so happy that his mouth reflexively opened.
I'm right. This is what I was built for. The mic stamp. Yeah. So I had no idea that was a thing. The fact that my straight friends were teaching me about this very sexual term felt very wrong.
Yeah.
But so right.
Yeah.
Also, my gayest then is mm-hmm. the way it's supposed to go.
Okay.
And it's supposed to go where a gay person teaches you about gay mm-hmm. slang. And so my gay neighbor who I, you know.
Did you bang him?
No, because he's in a fellationship.
Great.
So he's only allowed.
No, we gotta laugh about that. Okay, go ahead. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
He said that he was, he had told me about this before. Like he's with another.
I'm not over it yet.
No, same girl. So he's not allowed to, he's only allowed to have oral sex with other guys because with his mask on, because that's the rule. And so he's like with one guy that he actually has sex with. So he and I then would have a fellationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was the first I had heard of that. I'd never heard of it before. And that's how I learn about gay words is from other gay people. So that's like, that should be the typical. And then I teach straight people that, and they're so surprised that a bear actually means something other than like the monster thing in the woods, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've been a cornucopious amount of information today. Thank you.
thank you. I don't know why, but yeah.
A listener's gayest is
greatest. Yeah, let's do it.
Straightest, putting on a tool belt and fixing our boiler when it stopped working.
Mm.
Gayest, diving on a chair, squealing, and having to shout my housemate to save me when a massive wolf spider dropped out of said boiler.
Wolf spider? That sounds horrifying.
Yeah, they're big.
And they sound hairy.
Yeah.
Ew.
It's like a Chad wolf spider, the acting Secretary of Homeland Security. Okay, great.
Politics. Probably.
He's hot.
Okay.
The acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf.
Is he acting
despite
straight?
Despite being a fascist that is beating people down in Portland, is sexy.
Oh, no, you're right. Okay. It's like Chris Matthews. I'm like, ah, damn it. Do it. Tucker Carlson. That's who I mean. Sorry.
You already hear, folks. Kyle is into host of Hardball, Chris Matthews.
You know, he gives me hardballs.
So that's it. A special thank you to Edward II, the King of Faggot England, or whatever Dan said from our Patreon.
I did not call England faggot. I called Edward faggot, okay, just great. To be clear.
And thank you to the general concept of Nick Jonas's poker playing skills.
Yep. 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 And a thank you to Gary Cooper for maybe being a BMQ.
Props.
Yep. And Kenny Rogers for being dead. That's it. This has been Gayish. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be much be fabulous, be you. See you next week. I don't know, though.
Straight flush. That's... we should name our show Straight Flush.
Oh, my God. Great. I love it. Bye.
Bye.